Three, two, one. Welcome back to the Bushnell Project. John Bushnell here, trying to encourage us to be reading and listening to God's Word on a daily basis. And I have done many different things in this podcast over the years to try to encourage that. Hope that it has been an encouragement. I hope that you are reading God's Word and listening to it even more than you were before you heard this podcast, and that this has been a real blessing to you. It's definitely a blessing for me to do. And we are in Judges. So the beginning of the podcast was not me reading through scripture, but different books, favorite books, or books that I've read that have helped me read the Bible. But lately we have been reading through scripture, and we started in Genesis and we're all the way to Judges, having skipped Numbers. We did a flyover on Numbers. So here we are in Judges chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 12. We are at the second of the heroes or the judges. And so we're going to jump in here and see how far we get with Ehud, this second judge. So chapter 3, verse 12. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He gathered to himself the Amorites and the Amalekites, and went and defeated Israel. And they took possession of the city of palms. And the people of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. The people of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, the king of Moab. And Ehud made for himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, and he brought it, and he bound it on his right thigh under his clothes. And he presented a tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute. But he himself turned back at the idols near Gilgal and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." And he commanded silence, and all his attendants went out from his presence. And Ehud came to him as he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." And he arose from his seat. And Ehud reached with his left hand and took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the hilt of it also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not pull the sword out of his belly, and the dung came out. Then Ehud went out into the porch and closed the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. When he had gone, the servants came, and when they saw that the doors of the roof chamber were locked, they thought, "Surely he is relieving himself in the closet of the cool chamber." And they waited till they were embarrassed. And when he still did not open the doors of the roof chamber, they took the key and opened them, and there lay their Lord dead on the floor. Ehud escaped while they delayed, and he passed beyond the idols and escaped to Thera. When he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim. Then the people of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was their leader. And he said to them, "Follow me, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand." So they went down after him and seized the fords of the Jordan against the Moabites and did not allow anyone to pass over. And they killed at that time about 10,000 of the Moabites, all strong, able-bodied men. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. And that's... well, we'll stop there. Well, actually, we'll just do this last verse here, because this is the next judge, but we literally have one line on him. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. Okay, and we'll stop there. And we won't spend any time really with Shamgar. We might later on when he comes up in a couple of chapters later. But let's go back to this left-handed guy, Ehud. And a lot of the details in here are very interesting because often we don't get such details, like even what were the servants thinking? Oh, he must be using the facilities, right? So some of these details are interesting, but they help paint the picture of what's going on. Because Ehud is left-handed, he's probably able to get past any security because they assumed most or any warrior would be right-handed. That was just an assumed thing. Everybody's right-handed. And so him having his sword on his right hip would have been unnoticed. They wouldn't have even noticed it. And so that's a pretty significant detail there. And he's bringing this tribute, so very, very common. And even today, we have people giving tributes, right? Whether they're bribes or whatever it might be. But so he brings this tribute and he gets everybody to leave. And he does the dirty deed. And it is a dirty deed, right? But it is apparently from God. And we now know that it must have been because here it is in Judges and the Moabites are going to be crushed here. So then he escapes and then leads the people to kill 10,000 capable, very, very capable warriors, not just any 10,000, but scripture even gives us a detail of just how capable these men were. And so it's a lot of interesting details here in this one, and not a whole lot about Ehud, other than that he was left-handed and where he came from. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And then it tells us about Shamgar. I might as well just go ahead with Shamgar. Shamgar may have not been an Israelite, and we'll see that later. But he saved Israel. So apparently at the same time, maybe there's some Philistines thinking, hey, what's going on? And so he goes in. And he kills 600 Philistines, which probably made the Philistines rethink the idea of let's go join this army against Israel. And they go back to the sea and stick with their deal. Now, one of the things to understand, maybe a greater significance about this, is that he uses an ox goad against the Philistines, and the Philistines were the guys with the better metalworks. Their ironworks was much developed, and so their swords and shields would have been much, much better than anything Israel had, and also the chariots and things like that. So one of the reasons why the Philistines were so long up until David's time really are a issue is because of their technology. They had the better technology. So that's there you have it. Now you're all caught up with chapter 3. And we'll start on chapter 4. I just have to decide if I want to do something special for Good Friday and Easter. Although I know a lot of people, when they listen to this one day, it will not be maybe Good Friday and Easter. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but eventually we will get to chapter 4. God bless you guys. Have a good day. Talk to you soon.